All right, let's turn to the book of Galatians 2. We started Galatians 1 just to review because I stopped, if you'll remember. And what we're going to do this evening is start into Galatians 2. And I might be a little bit shorter because I don't think I can take, I think I can do chapter 2 of Galatians down through 10. And I think that's all I'm going to try to do this evening. I think if I go over to 11 down to 21, I think I'll rush, and I don't want to do that this evening, okay? So remember, I like to have a service where we just talk through or preach through a book, verse by verse. And one of the things that does is that helps you learn, that helps you grow, that helps you get closer to the Lord, and you'll get to where you know your book. And then, you know, because I want you to understand something else. If you're here and born again, and we all have family, right? You're the teacher in your family. You've got children. You're the teacher of your children. And you learn these things in church, and then you share these things with your children and your grandchildren. That's what I think is important, don't you? I think that's an important thing to see your babies, your grandbabies, and I want to see them all saved, don't you? I mean, I think that's a marvelous thing, but they need to be told. They need to be told. They need to be educated in the things of the Lord. Beloved, we, in a lot of ways, we're a very materialistic nation. In a lot of ways, we are. But, you know, when somebody dies, beloved, when somebody dies, what happens to their things? What happens to their cars? And their, you know, I mean, they might have a big estate somewhere, and then they have one of them, what they call them, an estate sale for some, from strangers to walk in and take everything they got. It don't go with you. But I'll tell you what does go with you. If you've been born again and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, He gives you everlasting life, and there's nothing that compares to that. And I have that. The greatest thing I have is I have an everlasting life, and I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to my account, and I'm happy for that. And I want you to know something else, too. That's true riches. You ain't rich if you die and go to hell at the end of your days. That's the poorest people on earth that die without Jesus. And that's why we need the gospel. Now, the gospel is going to be mentioned several times in this chapter 2. And I, like I said, I'm going to go 1 through 10, even if I get done early, which, yeah, we'll see about it. But then then I'll try to quit at verse 10. And then we'll do the other part of it, 11 through 21. Lord willing, we'll do that next week. Okay? All right, let's roll into it and work our way down through it. Then 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem, and this was the Apostle Paul, and he's got his missionary buddies with him. And the first one was Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, they worked together in getting the gospel out. And also Titus. Titus is also mentioned, and there's also a book in the New Testament that has Titus's name in it. And it's important for people to see how great it is to see what the gospel is. And that's what this is going to be looking at. The truth of the gospel is what I'm going to, and I'm going, that's not all I'm going to do. But the gospel is mentioned in verse 2, and you look on down in the text in verse 5, you see the word gospel, that's two times. Then when you go down to verse 7, you have three times it mentions the gospel in the book of Galatians. Now, in chapter 2, and I haven't looked at the rest of it yet. But that's three, I mean, out of these few verses that we looked at, that's three times the word gospel is mentioned. What is the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believes it. The gospel is the message by which God saves a sinner. If you know people that is lost, you know what we got to get to them? We got to get them with the gospel. Because the gospel is what saves your soul. That's what does it. I've mentioned this to you before, and there's sometimes there's people that say they're saved, but how can you know you're saved? How can you say you're saved if you don't know what the gospel is? You need to know what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. So verse 2, verse 5, and verse 7 of chapter 2 mentions the gospel three times. And that's pretty important. In that little bit of time from chapter 2 down to verse 5, it's mentioned that many times. You know what, beloved? We got to lay the gospel before people's eyes. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. And if a sinner man will trust the gospel and ask the Lord to save them, he'll give them everlasting life. How long's everlasting life? It's forever life. And I got that. What's the greatest thing you own? What is the greatest thing you own? The greatest thing I own is everlasting life. Having a home in the Father's house, having a home in glory, knowing you're going to see your loved ones again. Isn't that another wonderful thing to look forward to? God's done great things for us, and you can't put a price tag on any of them. They're infinite in value. And that's what this text is speaking of. And let's move on. And I went, verse 2, and I went up by revelation. He was going. It says he went up to Jerusalem and he took Barnabas and Titus also. And I went up by revelation. And that means that God basically sent him to go up. God wanted him to go up to Jerusalem. Which preach among, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Who preaches that gospel? Paul preached it. Paul preached that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that is the full gospel. Look at Acts chapter 5. I could show you a lot of stuff about the gospel, but you know it. And if you don't know it, I want you to know it. I want you to have it. I can't give you anything anymore. I can't give it to you anyhow. I can tell you how to be saved. But only the Holy Spirit of God can save a sinner man or a sinner woman. They have to be touched by the power of God. And he can do it. And he can do it, buddy. I'll tell you. All right. Now let me go to Acts 15. Acts 15. And we'll look at the verse 6. It says now, and the our chapter 15, and we'll look at verse 6. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider the matter. And when there arose much disputing, you know what disputing is, don't you? They were in a quarrel. That's how you know there was Baptist. Yeah, there's been a big quarrel here, I think. But and when there had been much disputing, Peter stood up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. Here's our word again. Hear the word of the gospel and do what? Believe it. Now, beloved, there's a lot of people that know about the gospel that haven't trusted the gospel. There's a difference between that. You got to know that you trust it. One of the ways the Lord saves us, I think one of the main ways the Lord saves a sinner man is when they recognize that they're a sinner and they call upon Jesus' name to be saved. To be saved. Romans 10 says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? got to be saved. Did God save that thief on the cross? Right? Did he or did he not? Was he a lost man or was he a saved man? He was lost when he was on the cross, but buddy, after a while, he looked over and he said, Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. He realized Jesus had a kingdom. This man was dying. He was a thief for crying out loud. He didn't have anything to offer anybody. You know what Jesus did? He saved this man by his grace. He saved this man by his grace. And he gave him everlasting life. And this old boy, I wish I knew his name. And well, you know what? One of these days we'll know this man's name. We won't have to call him a thief. Of course, he ain't a thief now anyway, is he? He'd been born again. He's had his sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And one of these days, he'll get a new body, just like one of these days we'll get a new body. And we'll be able to spend forever together. There ain't nothing any greater than that. Okay? All right, let's go back to our text. And we'll work our way through the rest of it. We'll work our way through the rest of our text. Okay? Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Okay, now let's move down from 2. And we went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. So he mentioned the gospel. Verse 3. But neither Titus, now Titus was a young preacher. He went with Paul and Silas. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So he was a Greek. And a lot of times what they was trying to do was make him Jews, is what they would try to do. Circumcise those. That is what they did. That's just what they did. And when they was 8 days old, they would circumcise them. And what they was trying to do under the new covenant is they was trying to bring that over. They was trying to bring it under the new covenant, but it wasn't supposed to be that way. I assume a large portion of the Jewish people still practice circumcision. But it has nothing to do with salvation. You can't be saved by being circumcised. But at one time, that was a major downfall for a lot of people. So they didn't believe. They didn't believe in these kinds of things. So we're saved by the gospel. The only thing that can save a sinner person is by trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can save you. Nothing. And the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. The only way you can be, it's all Jesus. Y'all agree with me? It's all Jesus. It can't be half him. It's all Jesus. And that's what he does when he saves a sinner person. And he washes him clean. And he gives you everlasting life. Now, beloved, there's two sets of people. You either have everlasting life or you will face everlasting death. Amen. Now, beloved, I'm going to tell you one more time. Hell is forever. Amen. It is forever. I believe that those that are in hell now are there in spirit. But I also believe that there's going to be a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. And they're going to get a new body, and then they'll be cast into what? Gehenna, or hell. So, you can't, it's hard for people, everybody's up on heaven. But beloved, there'll be a massive number of people that'll die and go to hell. And that's one of the reasons, that's what we work for, isn't it? We work to see people saved. It's the most important thing they are. We need to be, and we are witnesses. We are witnesses. And we seek to reach others for the cause of Jesus Christ, okay? Let's move on down. All right, we see the gospel there in verse 2, and he talked about preaching to the Gentiles. And that would be us, wouldn't it? Amen. Yeah, that would be us. When I read about the Apostle Paul and all the different Gentiles that come to the faith, and the Lord opened her heart, drawed them. Remember Lydia, the seller of purple? Whose heart? The Lord opened. Man, everybody takes credit for opening that heart. You didn't open your heart. I'm going to say it one more time. You didn't open your heart. God opened your heart. He deserves the glory for that. If it wasn't for Him opening my heart, I'd still be in my sin the way I was before. But He opened my heart, and I'm thankful for it. All God's people say it. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Is your heart open? Amen. If the Lord opens your heart, and you seen you as a sinner one day, I did. I seen I was a sinner man, and I didn't want to die and go to hell. I believed in it. And I still believe in it. And I called on His name, and I said, Lord, I want You to save me. And He'll do it. That's why I said a little while ago, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. Verse 4. Let's move down to verse 4. And that because of false, it mentions false brethren unawares. In verse 4. Everybody see that? False brethren unawares. And I guess they're still false brethren unawares. I have to say it's all the way down to the day. Would you all agree? There's a lot of false brethren. They seem to be saved, but they don't have the right gospel. They seem to be saved, but they don't change any. I'm not saying you're saved by your works. But when I see someone get born again, I look for them to change. If they don't change, there's something wrong with it. God changes a sinner man. That's why the scripture says old things pass away. All things become new. I look for people to be new when they're born again. Changed. Oh, God's people say it. Amen. All right. It says in that, verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares, and they creep in. Hey, can I ask you a question? Can they still creep in down to the day? Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. They can creep in. And I think sometimes that's how Satan works, don't you? He works that way. He goes after God's people. He surely does. All right, verse 5. To whom I gave place by subjection, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. See the wording? That's why I entitled the message, The Truth of the Gospel. You had gospel in verse 2. And then you have it again in verse 5. Then you have it again in verse 7. Three times it mentions the gospel. And that's why I put the point mainly towards that. Okay? Now, let's move on down. But to whom we gave by subjection, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue, but of those who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it makes no matter to me. That even sounds like Paul, doesn't it? God accepteth no man's person. God accepteth no man's person. Okay? For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, they said they added nothing to me. So they recognize that the Apostle Paul, he was a true gospel preacher. And he was, in my opinion, I think he's the greatest missionary that ever lived as far as on this old planet. And he wrote over half the New Testament. He did. And I don't know how he had the time to do it. And that goes along with beatings that he took and everything else. They tried to kill him I don't know how many different times. Till finally, he was, according to history, they think, is they beheaded him. These were men of God. You go back and get Fox's Books of Martyrs and you look at all the suffering that these saints of God went through for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they made a stand for spiritual things. Okay? All right, verse 6. But of those who seem to be somewhat whatever they were, maketh no matter to me. That just sounds like Paul, doesn't it? That just sounds like him. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, they said they didn't add anything to me. The Apostle Paul was, a true missionary. He went out to spread the gospel, and I don't know how many people he reached. Was he a great speaker? I read in the scriptures where it said his speech was contemptible. That would mean he wasn't really a great, speaker. But you know what? He had the power of God in him. when that old man preached, it touched folks. And the Holy Spirit blessed him. And he had more guts than anybody ever seen. He'd go right into a city. Maybe just had two or three men with him, even if that. And he would go right in, and he'd come in, and he'd go right in preaching, buddy. And he preached the gospel. And he wrote half this book. He wrote half this book. Whew. My. You know, that's one of the people that I want to see a lot of people in heaven. Boy, oh boy, I would love to see the Apostle Paul. He's my favorite preacher in the scriptures. I love the Apostle Paul. I love his writings. Who helped him do all this stuff? Somebody tell me. Jesus did. Holy Spirit did. All right, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel, there's our gospel word again, contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision is Gentiles. We are, unless you're a Jew, you're a Gentile. Ain't you thankful to God that he started saving Gentiles? We're Gentiles. And the Lord has saved a great host of Gentiles. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So Peter, he focused a lot, he focused mainly on the Jews, whereas the other was on the Gentiles. That's the Apostle Paul. That's what he did. All right, verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty with me towards the Gentiles. So here you have again Peter, and then it's, of course, touches with the Apostle Paul. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, who's Cephas? That's Simon Peter. James, Cephas, and John. So those are three who seem to be pillars, perceived the grace. I want you to listen to this. They perceived the grace that was given unto me. I don't know how they saw it, but evidently they saw what the Lord did with them. I mean, you think Saul of Tarsus, I don't know how many people he killed. He killed all kinds of people, didn't he? I mean, he went forth and he He was the chief persecutor in the book of Acts. He was. And what did God do? Tell me what he did. He saved him. Opened his heart and give him everlasting life. Saved his soul and changed his life. Can God still do that? Is he still doing it? And there ain't no, and we can't, you know, put a, you know, where it's not true. God's able to do things. We act like God can't do anything. He can do great things. I think God's people should pray bigger sometimes. I mean, sometimes we'll go, oh my, it's just so awful out there. Well, if you're born again, you got a reason to rejoice, don't you? Do we always really have a reason to rejoice? Oh, man. Home in heaven. Somebody give me another one. Home in heaven. I grabbed the easiest one. Anybody got another one? What's another one we got? What? Everlasting life. Anybody got another one? Oh, I forgot about the never sickness one. How about another one? Can you get another one? Forgiveness of all sins. I mean, we go on and on. And just one of those that I have my finger stuck up, just one of those is priceless. And they're eternal. All right, let me wind this up. Verse 8, for we write effectually in Peter to the apostle of the circumcision. That's what they called him, the apostle of the circumcision. The same was mighty in me, and it's talking about Paul, towards the Gentiles. God was, that's why I love Paul so. He was the apostle to the what? Gentile. And he brought the gospel to people like us. All God's people said, amen. Wonderful thing. All right, just about done. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me the, and you've heard this before too, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. The right hand of fellowship, that we may go to the heathen. That they may go to the heathen. And they unto the circumcision. Only that they should remember the poor and the same which also was forward to do. Well, that closes Galatians 2 through down to verse 10. Next week, if the Lord lets us live another time, we'll pick right back up with chapter 2, verse 11 and to verse 21. Thank you for coming this evening. You get a nice crowd tonight. Let's all stand and we'll close with a word of prayer. Brother Joe, you close us out.